If you have your Bibles, the anchor verse that we're going to be looking at is James chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 today. If you want to turn, this is a topical message, so we're going to be jumping around scripture, but I'm going to anchor it there. While you're turning there, I have a few housekeeping things to let you know about. First of all, Liz told me that I missed an announcement, and she wanted me to let you know that her and her friends around the neighborhood are organizing to see if they can create a dog park at Three Hills. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to Liz after the service. They'll be there for you. Also want to let you know that as we get into the fall, we're going to start a new series. I am calling it, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the Old Testament a little bit. And how many of you know what happened to the nation of Israel? Did it stay one complete nation or did it split? How many of you know what happened to it? Split into two. Two nation states. One was called One was called Israel. The other one was called Judah. And if you know your Bible history well, you've been to Sunday school lots. You also know that both those kingdoms, a lot of them had were their kings generally good or bad? Yeah, they're pretty bad. In fact, how many righteous kings do you think Judah had? Two? Eight. So, what I thought would be fun to do is look at the eight righteous kings of Judah and see what made them different as they ruled. So we're going to spend 8 weeks looking at the different kings, and it'll be fun, and then, you know, maybe if we have time, we'll jump back into Revelation, and we'll go through 5 and 6 there. So that's sort of where the summer's or the fall's going. But right now, we are going through a series, a topical summer series called Untangling the Feed, which just means this, is you send me controversial or not so controversial social media posts, and I will try to give a best answer about the Bible for him. So today, I thought we'd start off with a tongue twister. You want to see if I got the next slide here. You guys like tongue twisters? See if you can say this one with me. Peter preached powerful parables proclaiming peace while patiently I couldn't even do it right the first time. Let's try one more time. Peter preached powerful parables proclaiming peace while Paul patiently planted persistent. This is why I say mix up things all the time in church. It's a tongue twister. Tongue twisters are pretty crazy today. Did you know that the Bible has lots to say about tongue twisters? Do you believe me? Have you thought about that? Bro, probably not. Well, the TikTok video I got today deals with this topic in great detail. It's something that I would call gossip. Listen up to this.
Gossip is a particularly deadly sin. Gossip is quickly told, it's quickly heard, and then it's quickly spread.
Well, you know why the church has stopped growing, don't you? It's because they stopped singing out of the hymn books. Well, I thought it was because they have the youth up there playing those electric guitars and beating on those drums like it's some type of Van Halen concert. You know, Randy and Susan, they've done left the church. You're kidding. Yes, they got upset because one of those little new visitors sat in their seat. Well, it's really a shame. They need a lot of prayer. Well, you know who else needs prayer? The Miller's kid. They'll need more. So that way I can, like, you know, pray for them in detail, of course.
I just want to remind all of you guys that you can't love someone who you make fun of in private. I used to have a friend that worked for McDonald's, and he told me, you know, people often say that if people knew what was in the food, they would never eat here. But the truth is, if they heard how the marketing team speaks about them, they would never eat here ever again. And I wonder if that's true also for the church, that if those who are outside the church heard how we talked about them, if they would ever step into our churches. You know, it's something for you to consider. You can't love someone that you're making fun of.
I think there's also a distinction between venting and gossiping.
Yes, absolutely.
To get on a call with a colleague and vent about your boss is not necessarily unhealthy, and it's not necessarily gossip. to set that boundary there actually makes things worse, because that person is trying to blow off steam, and by me interrupting their frustration makes them feel not heard. I've learned in those circumstances, is this venting or is this gossiping? Allowing venting to happen is healthy, but validating venting can make it become gossip. Now you're part of the problem.
So when you're gossiping, it's other focus. When it's venting, it's you focus. The conversation should be about what you're experiencing.
Venting, I'm telling you my story.
Mm-hmm.
Where gossip is, I'm telling you somebody else's story.
Exactly.
And I'm not involved.
The Reynolds kid has gotten so wild. He was crawling underneath the pews like he was training for the army last week. You know what they say, it's only gossip if you don't pray about it. Did you hear about Dan and his wife? Well, get your prayer list ready. Deborah's homemade pie she brought to the bake sale last week. Doorbell. Yep, and not even the good kind. I seen the Great Value label in the trash can.
Well, there you go. So there's a... I got a few on the topic of gossiping. I want you to hear what God's heart is on the topic of gossip. There are many verses to talk about it, but I'll pick this one out of the plethora of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 says this. It's written to a church where Paul is afraid of the spiritual condition and the relationships that are going on there. He says this, "For I fear that perhaps when I come I might find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, and gossip, conceit, and disorder." See, here's the problem that I think that we need to understand is that gossip can get the tongue twisted, right? It is a tongue twister so much. And I think part of the problem, too, is... For Christians, gossip is one of those things that I think is very, very hard for us to struggle with, simply because it's really hard to define what's gossip and what is not gossip. What's the difference between sharing something and not sharing something? Like, that's why I put that one video in there. The guy was trying to debate, what's the difference? Is this venting or is this gossiping? What's the difference between the two? All that kind of thing. And like, this seems like part of the problem is like, we don't know what gossiping is. And so, like, we don't know if we're doing it. Like, and so what I'd like to do today is that I'd like to share a little bit about what the definition of gossiping is, what God's heart on the matter is, and why it's such an issue going forward and what to do about it. So let's talk about the first issue and get this out of the way. I think, what is gossip? Simply this, as I would define it as this, is gossip is the act of spreading unverified information, so rumors, essentially, about someone else that results in damage. It's exactly what the other guy said. It's the idea of telling somebody else, someone talking about someone else's news when you're not involved in the story whatsoever. I want you to understand a few things about the topic of gossip. What makes gossip gossip versus something that's not? I would say there are four qualifiers. First of all, I would say the person being talked about is unaware that you're talking about them. You're talking about them behind their back, right? Would you agree with that? Yeah, a little bit. Number two, you're not directly in the story. It's someone else's news. So let me give you an example. Let's say Liz and I are having problems in our marriage, and I come to you and I share that with you, right? Like, that's not gossip, because I am sharing with you something that I am personally struggling with. What would be gossip is if you took that information and told someone else who was not involved in the story without me asking or telling you to do it. Gossip doesn't have to be a lie. Gossip can be true. Okay? So the reason I put that one in there is because sometimes you'll hear in church, well, it's not gossip if it's true. That's not necessarily true, right? Something can be gossip and in fact, factually true. I'll give you an example. Let's say someone moves to town who lived a licentious lifestyle. And it gets around town that they were living a licentious lifestyle, but they actually came to town and started brand new. Well, if it's true and it's being spread around, you know, it might be like this. Well, this person got divorced, right? They're living an unholy lifestyle. It might be true, but maybe they're trying to get things right. And the fact that this spread just kind of goes on like this. Gossip doesn't even have to be overtly negative. in order to be gossip. Okay? Gossip can actually be neutral news. So think about it this way. I had a friend of mine who he had been served faithfully at a church for about 5 or 6 years, and he said to himself, I think it's time to move on. So he started searching for another church, and he found one, and he went through the candidating process, and that church approved him. But he hadn't told his church that he was leaving yet, right? So what happened is the new church got so excited, they went on Facebook and said, congratulations, like, we got so-and-so as our new senior pastor. We can't wait to have him. He's coming all the way from such-and-such a church, and it's located in such-and-such a place. Well, with social media today, the news got back to the church that, you know, they were... this pastor was leaving and nobody knew. It was like a shocker. They got that information out before the pastor could tell them, and the fallout was amazing because now everyone's sad. Everyone's thinking that he's tricked them. You know, he didn't even have a chance to tell his parents yet, all that kind of thing. Gossip doesn't necessarily have to be negative. What it is it just has to be something that's not, you're not involved in, that you tell, that when it gets out there, negatively affects them in a bad way. It's unverified, you don't know for sure, you haven't gone to the source, it's bad. Gossip is essentially telling someone else's story. And I would want you to understand that when you look at 1 Corinthians, I want to make you this observation, is that there is a difference between slander and gossip. Have you noticed that? If you look in the text, slander and gossip are categorized as two different things. So slander isn't always necessarily the same thing as gossip. What I would say is that slander, the difference between slander and gossip is this. Slander is done to your face, it's overt, it's in the public, and it is always 100% a lie. Okay? Gossip, on the other hand, is usually done in secret, without permission, and it can be either true or false. That's why it's gossip. Did you hear this rumor? Like, this is what's going on, okay? So, what does God think about gossip? Well, if you look at a few verses, I'll just point this out to you. Gossip, remember the guy at the beginning, he said this, gossip is quickly told, it's quickly heard, and it's quickly spread. And then what I would say on top of this is maybe the sins of the tongue don't seem minor in our eyes, but they are major in God. So if you think about the topic of gossip for a minute, and you categorize it, you know, you make a whole list of sins, and you categorize it, well, how bad is it? I don't think that we would put it in the category as bad as God would put it. I think we would say it's bad, but it's not as bad as, you know, something else. But I would render to you that that's not what God thinks. It is a major, major issue to God. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37 about the words that we use. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word that they speak. You're accountable for what you say, according to God. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. One of my favorite verses to talk about this is Proverbs 10, 20, or 19. It says this, when words are, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, he's saying this, when we talk a lot, there's opportunity for a lot of sin. Okay? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment, and I just, when I read that verse this morning, the other day, I just kind of asked myself, what are all the sins that are associated with speaking? Can anyone name a few? What are some obvious ones?
Lying.
Boasting. Gossip. Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about today.
Boasts.
You said that one already.
Posts.
Hoax. Okay. I listed a bunch. Hey. Gossip, slander, lying, flattery, boasting, blasphemy, false teaching. False teaching comes from your mouth. It's a lie. Cursing, profanity, foul language. Yeah, you could say that maybe that's the same thing. quarreling, arguing, brawling, judging, condemning others harshly, deceit, manipulative speech, complaining and grumbling. Remember the verse in the Bible, do everything without complaining and grumbling, right? Speaking thoughtlessly, using harsh words, verbal abuse, name-calling, mocking, speaking in hypocrisy. I would actually say that, you know, hypocrisy falls in that. It kind of makes you think that, man, maybe if you just didn't say anything, you would be fine. But I would actually argue staying silent when you should say something is a sin. Okay? What does the verse in James tell us? Those who know the good that they should do and do not do it, sin. Okay? Or even not keeping your word. If you're the kind of person that says, yeah, I'll do it, I'll get to it, but then you don't do it, I think that qualifies as a singing of the tongue. So I would just kind of think maybe like if we said something, if we said things less, maybe we would sin less, right? When words are many, transgression is not lacking, okay? When we speak a lot, like, it's easy to get into it. And gossip is one of those things. Why is gossip such a major deal to God? And I'm going to give you the reason for that, and that's this, is that gossip is a violation of the very reason God has given you the ability to speak. Write that down. Gossip is a violation of the very reason God has given you the ability to speak. I'm just kind of curious. There is a right answer to this, but why do you think that God gave you the ability to speak? Out of all the living creatures on this planet, we're the ones that can communicate the way we do. Why do you think he did that? To hear his love and his word? That's actually a good answer. That's not the one I was looking for, but that's a good one. What's that? To praise him, yes. To remain, because we remain in his image, God speaks, therefore we speak. Yeah, anyone else? To be in relationship. That's true. Let me give you another one. The purpose of speaking is to bring life. Listen to what Proverbs 18:21 says. Death, oh man, I did that wrong. Just kind of pretend that circle isn't there for a minute. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. In other words, well, here's what I'm going to say. The purpose of your tongue is to bring life or to speak life over people. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that the purpose of your tongue is to say something that's encouraging, to lift up, to bring out encouragement on others, and not to tear down and not to destroy them or not to make them feel like there's nothing. The idea of the tongue is that you pray, like we said some of that, you praise the Lord, that brings life. We're in relationship, that brings life. We glorify God with what we say, that brings life. Death and life reside in the power of the tongue. These are a few verses that, you know, I really try to memorize, especially when it comes to the idea of teaching. It's like, this one is my teaching verse. The one that, you know, I was like, if I was going to center preaching around anything, it would be this. Is Proverbs 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. I want to be the kind of person that when I say something, it's a word in season. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you're talking to somebody, and you're just going through something, and they say something. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's a Bible verse. But there's just something about it that feels like it's an apt answer. It's a word in season. Isaiah 50, chapter 4, says this. The Lord God has given me a tongue for those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Okay? The idea then is that our tongue is used to encourage, to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage people with what we say. And how we encourage, that is the purpose of your tongue, to glorify God, to speak about Jesus, right? What brings life more than anything? The gospel, sharing the news that Jesus died and rose again and we're forgiving your sins. The gospel is first of all heard, which means we need to say it. Okay? The purpose of the tongue is to spring life. Something other I want you to know is that the direction of your life is totally set by what you said. Okay? Listen to James chapter 3, verse 4. It says this. Look at the ships also, though they are large and driven by strong winds, so that would kind of be like the power of the engine. Like, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue, is a small member, yet it may boast great things. So the idea then is this, is like, if you look at a ship might be driven by a massive engine, it might be driven by the wind, but ultimately the direction about where it goes is decided by the rudder. Okay, you think about it, you know, you want to know a more modern day illustration of that, just think about the car. You know, you may have a massive car. I always tell people, like, I think the most important part about a car is the steering wheel, not the engine. Because you could have an engine, but unless you can direct the car where you want to go, it's not going anywhere. It's not going where you want. The most important part of a car is the steering wheel, because it sets the direction about where the car goes. And I want to tell you that that analogy is also true of your mouth. I really believe that where you are in life, how much money you have, whether you're single or married, whether what kind of job you have, the condition of your relationships, is largely based on what you have said or not said. Think about this for a minute. If you go to a job interview, you're usually hired based upon what you say, okay? When you get married, right, and you get down on one knee and you say, Liz, will you marry me, right? She can say one of two things. What are the things she can say? Yes or no? Direction. She laughed. She kind of did laugh. It's because I dropped the ring. Yeah. Anyway, my point is that largely what you say in life directs where you wind up in life. And I really believe that's what it's saying in James 3 and 4. Where your life ends up is largely governed by the words that you say. And the Bible says fairly clearly that there's only two directions your tongue can take you in. Death or life. Okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. There are only two directions. What you say can either encourage or bring life into your life, or it can destroy and separate. And the reason that I'm talking to you about this, and I'm going off on a tangent about this, is gossip sets the direction of your life towards death. Okay? Gossip is one of those things that can destroy and separate and kill your relationships, your marriage, a church. It's nasty. And I'm going to show you just through Proverbs a little bit about why that's true. The first thing I say is, like, gossip kills you deep down, okay? I was trying to think about Proverbs, cut off, 18:8 says this, the words of a whisperer are like a demolicious morsels. So they go down in the inner parts of the body, okay? So what he's saying is that the person that whispers, the person that gossip, it's something that's enticing, that's good, but then it gets down deep inside your soul, and that hurts. So I was trying to think about something that tastes good, but in the end is very harmful for you. Does anyone have an idea what that could be? Anybody? Sugar. Yeah, okay, sugar's a good one, right? Sugar tastes good, like, but if you have too much of it, you become type 2 diabetic, right? I guess, like, but you get the illustration, right? There's gossip or whispering is something in our hearts that actually feels really good, but then when we ingest it and take it and it gets down into the soul, I want to say that it is actually something that's very dangerous for your own body and your own soul, okay? Let me Let me ask you something. Do you find that a lot of people come up to you wanting to share gossip? No, you shouldn't answer that out loud. Just kind of think about your own soul for a minute. The reason I say that is because if they do, I do not think that's a flex. It does not speak well of you. When people talk negatively about someone behind their back and laugh at them, I think you should be asking yourself, why do people feel that they can come to you and share that with you? I think there's a few things going on in your own heart. Either you enjoy it, or you're scared to speak up. So you know that they're gossiping, and you know that it's wrong, but you don't say anything, and so they feel that they can allow you to come. So the gossips see you as easy prey. So in other words, like, I don't think it's, and what I'm trying to get at is, I don't think it's something that actually brings life into your life. I think it's something that makes your soul sick, because it either fosters fear or makes you get some sort of enjoyment out of about taking someone else down. That's not okay. Gossip is also shown as a betrayal of trust. Like, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. When we first moved to Three Hills, Liz mentioned to me how easily it was the gossip spread around town. And I think it just breaks trust, right? If the job requires a level of privacy, and I have been made aware that you're a gossip, I actually don't trust you to do the job well, because I don't know if what I share with you is going to wind up with your coworkers or around town at the coffee shop. So it actually makes me not want to trust you. Gossip separates close friends, Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. When we talk about death, right, I want you to understand something. It's like, beyond the idea that we are saying that someone is physically not alive, death speaks of a separation. And a gossip separates people. A gossip speaks death over your relationships. Once it gets out that someone has been gossiping about your back, it really hurts, doesn't it? Right? Ends the friendship. Gossip fuels avoidance. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. Proverbs, I don't have the reference on screen, do I? Route 19. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if I know you're sharing gossip with me, then it also makes me wonder, like, if you were talking negatively about someone with me, then what that does in my own soul is it makes me wonder if you are talking negatively about me with other people, and that makes me want to avoid you. Gossip spreads conflict, 26:20. This is an interesting one. For the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whispering, quarreling ceases. It's saying basically this: when gossip doesn't happen, there's no fighting. Right? How many times has a church divided or been destroyed, or there's been division in a church, not because of a righteous reason for division, but because someone has believed the gossip, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but gossip almost closed this church during COVID and put me in a mad situation. During COVID, people started spreading things about myself and what we believed and manner, and then reported it to AHS. I was then contacted by AHS at least once and asked to set the record straight about what we actually thought about gossip. Okay? Gossip spreads conflict. Okay? Life and death or in the power of the tongue. Do you see what I'm getting at here? Do you see what I'm trying to say is like, is that gossip is an issue for God, because the whole reason God created your ability to speak was to bless people, to encourage them, to praise the Lord, to speak life, to give life. And gossip is one of those things that works in the opposite direction. It separates, it destroys, and it just grieves God's heart. It's not on the like acceptable sins list. It's on the major sins list. It's a big deal to Jesus, what we say and how we use our tongue. Like, so then how should we live? How should we speak? If you're struggling with gossip, or maybe you've been sort of like the person on the recipient end of gossip, what do you do? Like, how do you live? Well, can I give you just a hint about how to deal with any kind of sin? When you deal with any kind of sin in your life, the worst thing that you could do is try to stop sinning. Okay? And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're someone that's struggling with lying, let's say you're a liar and the Lord convicts you of that and say, hey, you're lying, cut it out, then the thing that you should focus on is this. You shouldn't focus on the sin, you should focus on the righteousness. So what's the righteousness? Being an honest person, right? If you focus on being honest, you will automatically avoid lying. Why? Because you're being honest. Okay? Gossip is the same way, okay? If you're struggling with gossip, here's what I would encourage you to do is don't focus on not gossiping. Focus on what your tongue was created to do, which was to encourage, bless, and convict, and speak life over people. If you do that, then the gossip won't be there. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Focus on the righteousness. Focus on the thing that's good, and you'll automatically, by default, not do the thing that's wrong. Okay? So, you know, you could apply that to anything. You want to be faithful with your wife? Be faithful, and you'll avoid not being faithful. Right? You want to, you know, you do that for a lot of things. But the point is that focus on what God has created you to do with the words that you speak. So, I'll just end with a few practicalities on this, and then we'll go. So I'll say it like this. How do you speak life over people? How do you use your words to say something that blesses people? Number one, I would actually choose to believe the best about believers until it is proven otherwise. So listen, when someone says something negative about someone else, here's what I will typically do. I won't listen to it. I will dismiss it, and in fact, I will forget it. And a lot of you know I really will forget it because I'm absent-minded to begin with, right? I'm space cadet at times. So listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 says. This is this, is that do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So I know that this verse in context is talking specifically about those in church leadership, but I would render you the application applies to, you know, it's a good thing for all believers, is I don't think you should entertain a charge against a fellow believer unless you're hearing it from different sources. So if someone comes to me and says, you know, the other day I saw Elizabeth drinking, like, and I'm only picking on Elizabeth because I know I can get away with it, or not, right? You know what I'll choose to do? Say, I will choose to believe that is not true until I see or it's proven otherwise to me. Okay. So usually how this works is if I hear it here, and then I hear it over here from different angles, then I start investigating. But that first initial one is usually wrong to begin with. Like, so that should actually be very comforting to you, because what that says is, like, if any one of you comes to you, to me, and speaks negatively about someone else in this room, I'm going to choose it's not true unless I can see it another way around. I believe you. Now, that puts me in, you could say there's some negative effects of that. I would say that's true, but that's how I choose to live that verse out. Number two, I think, how do you speak life over people? I think you should practice self-control in your speech. Proverbs 13:3 says this, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Just learn to keep a confidence, actually, which is what the next one says, actually. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." Okay? Sometimes things do need to come out, but generally, if you're a person, you should be a person that can keep a confidence, that I can share what is going on in my heart and the sin and sort of the destruction and the ugliness and not have to be worried that someone is going to go and hear about it. I'm going to hear about it. It's going to wind up at the coffee shop. Okay? Keep a confidence. Number three, speak directly with people. If you have an issue with someone, I think you should go directly to them and keep it a short account. Argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another person's secret. Okay. Number four, speak blessing over people. Okay. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. When you speak blessing, you speak life over people to say, hey, like, instead of people gossiping and said, hey, did you see what so-and-so did the other day at church or, you know, the workplace or whatever, just kind of go up to them and say, hey, I'm so grateful for you the other day. Like, I saw you doing this, and it was awesome. I just want to bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you do. Praise the people you would otherwise gossip about. Okay. This one doesn't relate to gossiping, but I like the idea that what you say, you know, brings out the good, right? From the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good, right? Just to say, hey, you know, the other day, you know, I just wanted to encourage you. The other day, I saw you open the Bible the other day and read the word, and that was awesome. I think I've said this before, but you should really make sure that you encourage the men in your church that they brought the families to church. To say, hey, the other day, I saw you bring your family to church, and I know it's been hard, but, you know, good on you for trying to still, like, put a prioritize your relationship with Jesus. Most men don't go to church. Most men go to IHOP on Sunday, right? So the fact that they're there in this building, you should say encourage them with, okay? Speak words of honor over people. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So the idea is this, is like, I believe in publicly honoring people. To say the other day, you know, the other day, Elizabeth, I was hanging out with Joe, and I saw Joe pray over his family. What a blessing that was. That's so cool, right? Things like that. Joe doesn't even have to know I do it, right? But just to honor people and say, hey, you know, this is the good I saw in them. Or the other day I saw Randy, you know, serve, or I saw Lane do this, and it was good, and it was really encouraging. Or I saw Ron do this. Like, instead of speaking things that are negative and hurtful so that we can look good, just say, hey, I saw them love the Lord the other day, man. That was really cool. Does that speak life or death? Life, right? So that's what I do. So that's the idea. So why is gossip such a bad thing? Because it's a violation of the very reason God gave us the ability to speak. And God gave us the ability to speak, to encourage, to bless, to correct, to bring, to speak life into people's souls. So I would encourage you today, if that's something you're struggling with, hey, you know what? That's okay. The Lord we all struggle with different things. But I would encourage you, use your mouth to be something that speaks life over people. May it be said of us that we are a people so that when we speak, we give a word in season. We bless. We restore, and we restore life to the weary by what we say and what we encourage and what we pray for. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness towards us. I'm just so thankful for this next week coming up, that we do have an opportunity to use our words to speak life over our young people, God. And I really pray that would happen, that they would know that you ultimately love them, that you care for them, that you died and rose again for them, and then by believing in him, we can have eternal life. I pray that we would speak life this week into a whole new generation of children, and they would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The whole congregation said, amen. Amen.